I came across a story about a little girl who was late getting home for supper. Her mother made the expected irate parent's demand to know where she had been. The little girl replied that she had stopped to help Janie, a friend of hers, whose bicycle was broken when she fell. The mother said, "But you know nothing about fixing bicycles." And the little girl responded, "I know that. I just stopped to help her cry." I just stopped to help her cry. I think this little girl had the gift of mercy, and she was a healing presence to a friend who had had a bicycle accident. We're talking about gifts today. We're talking about the spiritual gifts that God deposits in every person who is a believer in Christ. And so this little girl is a great story that sometimes the best gift to another person is your presence. I just stopped to help her cry. So the title of the message is Know Your Gifting to Fulfill Your Purpose. We're going to talk about this sense of gifting in order to for us to live out God's purposes in our generation. Read with me Acts 13:36 in your notes. "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep." One sentence, David served God's purposes in his generation. I want you to understand, you and I have to live in the present. Our generation is 2024. It is now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. It is today. And God wants us to live out his purposes. In the book of Chronicles, there's a line about a group of men, the men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Here's the meaning of that. You and I need to figure out life, and we need to live out God's purposes and discern what we should do today. I read an article about a church in Virginia who was trying to be creative. And on Saturday nights, they were doing improvisational comedy as a way to draw people in. And in this article, there was a reference about this. It says, "Is the church really relevant anymore?" It's a good question. And I have an answer for that. And the answer is absolutely yes. And here's why. If you're here this morning or listening online and you're trying to figure out your purpose, you're trying to understand what your life is all about, God's word, the scriptures, the Bible, can tell you and give you the answers that you're looking for. He has the owner's manual or for our life of how we figure out our purpose in life. And so this morning as we're going to share communion a little bit later, but I want to share a message titled, Know Your Gifting to Fulfill Your Purpose. And the reason it's important is this. You and I just have to know how we're wired, what we're good at, what God is calling you to do to live out his purposes in the present tense time of 2024. So I want to share with you three different thoughts about this, but here's a quote. Bill Hybels says, "The local church is the hope of the world." Let me just say, you as a body, as an individual, and as a group of people are the hope of Walton and beyond. Whatever community you live in, the church really is the hope of the world, and here's why. We have a message of grace that we sang about earlier, grace amazing, that can change our lives and change the lives of the people around us. It can lift them up out of the pit or whatever their experience is. God can do something new and fresh. And the local church, us, has a message that can make the difference in their lives. Now, we are a global local church. What's that mean? We have the big picture in mind. And we have a goal, as you know, to touch every country in the world over 40 years. It's 195 countries. I think we're at about 55. It's 28.2%. We send a check of $500 or a ministry equivalent to each country, and we're going to hang flags in the Harvey Center as we just kind of touch additional countries. But listen, we're also a local church. You know what that means? We're like the little girl. I just stopped to help her cry. It may be visiting someone in a hospital, somebody on your street, you take them food. Maybe it's going to a nursing home. Maybe it's soup on Tuesdays. Maybe it's a backpack program through the school. Whatever it is, we are here locally to be the hope of the world. And when you leave here today, I hope you have a different view of yourself and what God's assignment is to you going forward to live out his purposes. So truly, the local church is the hope of the world. So here's what I want to do. I want to share three simple thoughts about gifts, spiritual gifts. And I hope you find yourself today in this message. Because when you figure out and know what your gifts are, what you're good at, what you're not good at, and you intentionally live your life through your strengths, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be one fulfilled person. And so let's get started. Number one in your notes. When you think about God's gifting to each of us, point number one is this. God has deposited spiritual gifts in every believer. In other words, anybody that has put their faith in Christ, here's what he does. He downloads something into your spirit and he activates it. He empowers you based on your personality, your skills, your abilities, and he enables you to make a difference in the world we live in. And he's got something for everybody. Read with me verses 10 and 11 in your notes. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. I want you to circle the word received. God has deposited something in you, and the word receive means this, to actively lay hold of. You've got something in you that you have to actively lay hold of and go to work on to know what it is that God has planted in you. We find in these verses, it says, if anybody speaks. Some people have a speaking gift. But then it goes on to say, if anyone serves. Some people are more behind the scenes. They don't want to speak. They want to just serve behind the scenes. And so there's something for everybody here. And 1 Peter says, hey, you've received something from God. We just got to mine the gold and figure out what it is. So read with me now. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11 in your notes. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives the message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. This text provides a summary of some of the gifts. And I want us to understand the last verse we read. The Spirit of God sovereignly decides what to download into our life. He chooses. And we are responsible to receive it, to actively lay hold it, and to aggressively accept it so that we can go to work on becoming better at that particular area. I've got a couple quotes here. Here's the first one. There are different kinds of gifts, spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Here's what it's saying. In this group of people today, you look around and everybody's different. And everybody, there may be some similarities of gifts that we'll get into in a bit, but everybody's wired in a different way. And so it's your responsibility and my responsibility to say, what has God deposited into my life, the giftings that the Spirit has given me that I can use going forward? And here's another picture. Inside each person, if you were to open your heart up, there's something there. Now, you may be here this morning, and you've heard this material before, and you say, wow, I kind of know what my gifts are. Well, this is great. It's a review for you. There's other people, my hunch is, that you kind of have an idea of what you do well, but then there's other people that say, you know what? I really don't know what it is my gift mix is. And so I want you to know something. When you figure out your gifts, your top three, and you have an opportunity to serve other people using your top gifts, let me tell you about an intersection. It's an intersection inside you called fulfillment. When your gift mix matches the opportunity in front of you, you will feel fulfilled on the inside. You know what's a sad tragedy in life? People can spend years or decades in a job that pays well, but they really don't like it. It's a mismatch of gifting versus what the job has to offer. And so God wants us to understand that He's downloaded into each of us certain things that are unique to us. All right, that's number one. Everybody's got something, and it's usually more than one gift. Number two, the second thing I want us to know is this. God wants you to know what they are. God wants you to know what your gift mix is. Read with me 1 Corinthians 12:1 in your notes. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. Here's what it's saying. God wants to make it real clear to each person that you understand how you're wired, what's in you. Now, in your notes, I have a list of 24 gifts. Depending on who's defining it, it could be more or less, but this is a pretty good list. I'm gonna walk through some of these and give you a person visual, all right? Let's start with helps. Every church or community is blessed when somebody has the gift of helps. It could be soup on Tuesday nights. It could be vacuuming the church. It could be serving, taking food to people. The gift of helps is all about just giving your heart away to help other people. Now, you know how you find out if a person has the gift of helps? Listen, their attitude. They're just willing to do it. If you run across a grumpy person, I don't think they probably have the gift of helps. Seriously, a person, we are blessed with people in the church who have the gift of helps. They'll do anything, and their attitude shows it. Let me move down. Hospitality. These are the food people in life. Refreshments, special events, People are just amazingly good at preparing food. You know, thank God we have a lot of people with hospitality gifts in the church. This is great. But the point is, you may be in that category, and that's your gifting. How about this one? Service. This is related to helps, but some people are just so willing to serve. There's so many examples of Tim and Kim do the communion setup, and many people do different pieces of ministry, but a person that's got the gift of service is just willing and able and wants to serve. All right, let's keep going. How about this thing called leadership? I thought of Jane. She's here. She's Operation Christmas Child. She's our champion. So throughout the year, she'll just organize different events and people that we can become a part of, and that's what leadership does. Not every person can do that. But when you have that gift, it's just a natural expression of grace within. All right, let's go to craftsmanship. These are the builder people, or maybe they're the people that crochet the prayer shawls. They're good with their hands, and people that are craftsmen are probably more the trustee and Kevin Charles, or there's people here that are just good with your hands. You create things. That may be you. All right, let's go down to mercy. I like this one. People that have the gift of mercy, I like to call them a walking first aid kit. It doesn't make any difference where they're at. If you bump into them, you know, they're just there for you. They're like the little girl that says, hey, I just stopped to help her cry. People that have the gift of mercy can extend compassion in a moment's notice and, you know, just love that person who's in pain or hurting. And it's awesome to have people in your life that have the gift of mercy. They're willing to listen to you at a moment's notice. So there's others in the list here, prayer and intercession. Some people always default to, how can I pray for you? Isn't that great? How can I just pray more? Pat and Bjorg and Priscilla, there's some people that just gravitate towards always wanting to pray for people. And so here's the deal. You've got to figure out what yours are. I'm going to tell you what my top three are. And the first one is Pastor Shepherd. I've taken the gifts inventory at different times, but I enjoy having a group of people to work with and just kind of trying to make good things happen. A second one is this, the gift of encouragement. I'm just wired that way. I just love to speak into people's lives. And number three is giving, time or resources whenever I can. Those are kind of my top three. Now, here's what I learned over the past couple years. I don't even have to be in church to use them. I can be on an airplane or in the grocery store, or I could be on vacation. And listen, when my shepherding pastoral gift and my gift of encouragement and my gift of giving come together, and I'm not even in the church, I'm somewhere else in life, I live at an intersection called fulfillment. You can too. Whatever you do, wherever you go, if you know your gifts, what God has wired you to do and be to the people around you, and you literally live that out wherever you go, let me tell you, you're going to be one happy person. Why? Because you have an intersection between how you're wired and an opportunity to express grace to other people. Here's a couple quotes. Life isn't about finding yourself. It's about discovering who God created you to be. Discover who you are by knowing your gifts. Another example, I'll go back to it, is teaching. You know, Wednesday, the 252 and XP3 programs, you know, you got Deb and Tammy and their teams. They teach. They're just imparting truth to kids. And so it's another great example of people expressing their gifts. Here's another quote. Big gifts are the sign of a big God. Now, I want to say something about the little girl again that said, I just stopped to help her cry. Can I tell you, that's a big gift. That's a big gift. We think of people that are up front or talking and, oh, they got the big gift. Well, I tell you, the gift of mercy is an amazing gift, and that may be you today. Maybe you are a world-class listener to people that have broken lives. That's a big gift. And God is a big God, and he may have planted that in you. So understand, God has put deposited gifts into everybody. That's a believer. Number two, he wants you to know what the gifts are. Number three is this. God wants you to use them to fulfill your purpose. You don't put them on the shelf. You go to work using them. So read with me Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God calls you his workmanship. The word literally means masterpiece. Got a question. Do you consider yourself a masterpiece? Chances are we got to go to work in that. That's what God calls us. We don't usually call ourselves that. He says, you are my workmanship, my masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You know what that is? Knowing your gifts, having an opportunity to express them and meet somebody's need, you end up at the intersection called fulfillment. You just have a good life. Let me stop here. Don't raise your hands, but here's a question. Do you know what your gifts are? Some people do. Some don't. Some sort of know. But when you can put a name on it, the gift of mercy, the gift of helps, the gift of leadership. Let me tell you, it clarifies your identity. People are trying to figure out who they are. If you want a good start, do a study on the gifts, figure out what's inside you. That's your identity in Christ. And Paul says you are his masterpiece, his workmanship, created to do good works. David served God's purposes in his generation, and then he fell asleep. He died. That's what we want to do. That's our bullseye in life. So God wants you to use your gifts to fulfill his purpose in your life. Here's a quote. When you find your spiritual gift, God will give you an opportunity to use it. If you want to pray an amazing, dangerous prayer, say, God, show me my gifts, and then give me an opportunity to use it. Let me tell you, it can change your life. And you will go from being somewhat fulfilled to a really fulfilled person because you have that match. Here's another quote. Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. He's put something in each of us. We have to identify it. But you can't just put it on the shelf. We have to engage ourselves in a way to meet and serve other people's needs. And it is our gift back to God of what we do with our life. And here's another quote. To the world you may be one person, but to one person you may be the world. From Dr. Seuss. You are the world to some person here on earth. I mean, you are. We're only one person, but hey, one person can make a difference in somebody else's life. So let me just do some summarizing. Number one, God's given everybody something. It's inside your heart, in your spirit. Number two, he wants you to know what he's given to you. Number three, he wants you to use those gifts. And I guarantee it, if you figure out and can put a name on your gift mix, and you find an opportunity to serve other people, you will feel really, really good about life. It's not even about pay. It's about who you are as a person, and you'll just feel good about yourself. So, conclusion, it says, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He died. You and I want to do the same thing. Last Tuesday night at our life group, we used what's called a spiritual inventory, and I'll have Jake put this picture up. It's called Unwrap Your Spiritual Gifts. Out on the table, there's a packet of information. You answer 96 questions. They're simple. They're not hard. Go with your gut instinct. This is me or it's not. In a scale of 0 to 4, you answer them. You then add up certain numbers. You transfer it to a sheet, and it will literally give you an idea of how you're wired. So we use this Tuesday night. Now, some of the people from the life group are going to be at the table after the service. You're welcome to take a package. They'll explain it to you. They'll give you some general guidance of how to complete it. You could even start during refreshment time. It's up to you. But the point is, if you're not sure or you want to clarify something, pick up a packet called Unwrap Your Spiritual Gifts, work through it, and it'll give you an identity of what God has deposited into your life. All right, so you can pick those up at the table on the way out. Here's my final slide. God is about to bless you more than you ever dreamed. As Pastor Jack said, 2024 is give us this hill country. That's our theme. Your hill country is God's purpose for your life. He wants to use you to bless other people. And you know how he'll do that? By knowing your gifts and being available for him to use you to touch other people. He will bless you more than you've ever dreamed if we're available and we could just bring all of that together. So my challenge to the church family is this. Figure out what's inside you. If you kind of know but you want more, study it and get a little bit more fine-tuned. Or maybe you're still trying to discover it, understand it. That's okay. Take that inventory, go to work on it, and see what your identity is in the body. End result, listen, fulfillment. Just feeling good about yourself every day. You don't even have to be in the church. If you're expressing your gifts in your job or wherever you go, let me tell you, that's awesome stuff. And you'll feel good about life. We're going to share in communion in just a few moments, but I want us to just take a moment of prayer and ask God to help us. So would you please bow your heads with me? before we partake, I want to plant one seed thought into your mind. It's this. Make a decision today that your past will not define you. Grace will. What is that? It's forgiveness and cleansing. And going forward, it's finding out who you are in Christ, your giftings, and then making your life count for Him. That's what communion and remembering what Christ did for us on the cross is all about. It's about heaven as our future home. But don't let your past define you. When He took the bread, He broke it, and He said it represents His body. Do it in remembrance of me so you may partake, and do it with faith in your heart. He took the cup and He said it represents His blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of your worst mistake, your darkest sin, your deepest hurt, whatever it is. And I want you to allow by faith the blood of Christ to cover it. Cover it. So that you can claim God's protection and forgiveness on your life. You may partake. Would you please stand with me for the closing prayer? Father, we pray that You'll make us grace-filled people.